KZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump is now in Japan, where he will meet the new prime minister for the first time. She's the country's first woman prime minister. Plans are for the two leaders to discuss trade. Later this week, trade talks with China will be held as President Trump's tour of Asian countries continues. Hurricane Melissa has grown to a powerful Category 5 storm as it approaches Jamaica. ABC's Aika Jachi is in Kingston and has been talking to tourists.
How am I going to get home?
With all major airports now closed on the island, many tourists suddenly finding themselves stuck, caught in the path.
They are blocked out flights all week.
We spoke with Donnelly Gordon, an American visiting from Atlanta, who has been desperate to get off the island since Friday.
Officials say as much as 40 inches of rain could fall in Jamaica. Government shutdown continues. Now the Agriculture Department is warning that the nation's supplemental food program will not be funded past this weekend. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers says he will appeal the Trump administration's denial of the state's request for $26.5 million of assistance following severe weather in August. According to a press release, Governor Evers received a letter from FEMA stating that while the impact of the severe weather was significant, the agency had determined that funding through the public assistance program was not warranted. Governor Evers says the denial of federal assistance delays recovery efforts and sends a message to Wisconsin's communities that they are on their own. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is reminding residents to continue taking steps to protect themselves against mosquito bites this fall. According to a press release, the reminder comes following a positive Eastern equine encephalitis virus test in a Marathon County horse. There have been no human cases of the virus so far this year, but October is usually the most common time for humans to be infected. Mosquito activity will continue until there's a hard frost, meaning temperatures stay below 28 degrees for at least 4 straight hours. A Bayfield County Meals for Seniors program has received $10,000 in funding to address gaps in emergency food supplies. The North Lakes Community Clinic 100 Who Care Ashland and Bayfield counties awarded the funds to the meals program after it won a community vote held in September. The program had previously been based at Northland College before the school's closure this year. The Bayfield County Department of Human Services now offers the program in partnership with the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians. The St. Croix Valley Foundation has announced the launch of a new grant program for nonprofits serving the western Wisconsin and eastern Minnesota region. The Nonprofit Capacity Building Grant Program will distribute $3.5 million of funding to help area nonprofits become more efficient and sustainable. Officials say nonprofits in the area are under heavy strain, facing persistent staffing shortages with limited budgets and turnover in leadership positions. More information on eligibility for the grant funding is available on the St. Croix Valley Foundation website. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers defeat the Steelers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports from Pittsburgh, where the Packers came back in the second half to win 35-25 over the Steelers. Wide receiver Christian Watson had 4 catches for 85 yards in his first game back after suffering a torn ACL in January. The defense sacked Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers 3 times. Micah Parsons.
Guys made plays when we had to make plays, which was huge, and we need that. We need that every week. It's great to have Christian back, honestly, and just everyone else just coming in. Like, I can't tell you how appreciative I am of the guys. Everyone who felt like they was having a bad game, like, we just rallied around each other.
NBA, the Bucks suffered their first loss of the season, 118-113 in Cleveland to the Cavaliers.
You know, it's so funny. We shoot the ball so well. I just thought we missed shots we made. And then the fouls, I thought, were the difference in the game.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZH. Hayward's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to the mid to upper 50s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, there may be a sprinkle or two. Otherwise, partly cloudy. We'll drop to the mid 30s for a low tomorrow. Scattered showers with a high right around 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
Don't act like that. Don't wear that. Don't think that. I've heard everything you tell yourself every time you felt different. And I want you to know that you can be vulnerable and powerful. That taking care of your mind is taking care of everyone you love and who loves you. Love your mind. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, are energy prices down? What about Drill Baby Drill? Matt Randolph, Mr. Global, will join us. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
8:06, good morning. Nice to have you back here up north. It's a Monday morning, October 27th, 2025. And it is time, as we do each Monday morning at this time, to head down to Madison, not just to Studio A2, where Parker Olson is standing by, but Studio A1. We go to the big room,
the big
down the hall,
the big studio.
Where John and Gordy are standing by, and John, yes. you can hear their show weekday mornings on our station 92.7 WMDX in Madison or through the Civic Media app. Guys, how are you? Good morning.
Doing well. Happy Monday to you, Pat.
All right, now it's time. I'm good, thank you. Let's see if I get some vindication or not. Mm-hmm. Packer game, 7:20 p.m. start. You stayed up until the end of it. Yes or no?
No.
No.
Thank you. I feel much better. Good night, everybody.
I made it to halftime and just a little bit beyond halftime.
Yeah, I made it past halftime as well, and I thought, well, that's it. It wasn't going well for the Packers at that point.
Thank you. Great. All right. But here's the, there are so many people raising a glass of Metamucil to us right now going, good job, guys.
But here's the thing. You know, the kicker, they brought the kicker back from injured.
Yes.
And then he misses twice.
Yeah.
That was just ridiculous. We had a guy who filled in for 2 weeks, didn't miss any at all, and set a Packer record.
Right.
Why are we changing the people in midstream like this? I think Pam Yonke, the farm babe, mm-hmm. said that they had to pull this guy off injured reserve in order to keep him alive and well as part of the roster and the team, I believe. Anyway, that's what she said.
Yeah, there was some technical thing like that.
I will put it on McManus, but I will say in being fair to whatever degree, those field conditions, that field was garbage. Yeah. I mean, it was like on a beach with the little tufts of grass here and there. Here's one of the things you never see anymore.
Wow,
you never see NFL games being played in baseball stadiums. And you know, when they get that space between like second and third base, they're playing in the infield dirt.
Right.
And it always looks weird and it never happens anymore, thankfully. But the whole field looked like that. It just, you know, what, again, that shouldn't matter to me, but they make a lot of money. You know, I've seen the price of an NFL ticket. You could keep the grass, you know, watered or something for what you're getting. But anyway,
they're thinking about raising prices too. You know, I mean, that's just,
of course they are.
It's getting out of hand. Yeah. They want the, wealthy to go to these games because they can make more money off.
If you want to make more money, here's what you do. You come up with these, merchandise ideas, alternative uniforms, and then people will buy the alternative uniforms, the throwbacks, because they are so cool. Unless You are a Pittsburgh Steeler fan wondering why your team was dressed as Minion prison inmates yesterday.
Yeah, those are the ugliest uniforms I've ever seen.
That's a
those,
good comparison.
Those look terrible, and not even matching pants, flesh-colored pants.
Yes,
a couple of different times I had friends going, are they wearing pants?
Are they wearing pants, yeah.
Wow.
I know. They're like all Pooh Bear here.
When I tuned in, I thought they were the Packers at first.
Right.
I didn't
exactly.
know.
First glance. Yeah.
See?
Right.
See, Parker, it's not just me.
No, it's not just I had a problem with the uniforms too.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, we've covered the uniforms and how we don't think they're going to be making some money off of those anyway.
No, I don't think so. No.
All right. Well, we come storming into Halloween week, and boy, if there's one place people love to be on Halloween, it is Madison. It is fun. It is raucous. It is really something, unless again, you're of a certain age and then you turn your porch light off and you go to bed early. I don't know. Are you guys candy hander outers? Are you party attenders? Especially with Halloween being on a Friday night. Does Halloween work for your social calendar?
Well,
it doesn't work on mine. My house is kind of set back and no one walks up to our house. They're afraid to go up to our house.
Yeah. And I'm in an apartment complex now, so there's no trick or treaters around
there.
Like,
See, I grew up in a big apartment complex, and so you took a pillowcase, and it got pretty full. And of course, with that many kids, I mean, you had to buy that much candy to hand out, or you just didn't answer the door at some point. But I miss that. It's also why my dentist, you know, drove a Lamborghini. I mean, there was a lot of work needed to be done there. And now, like you said, well, like I'm in more of a rural area, and you know, usually single digits number of trick-or-treaters that we end up handing out here. So
in Madison, Halloween on State Street used to be huge in the 60s and 70s and part of the 80s.
Yeah, we missed that. We wanted to bring back a John and Gordy State Street celebration again and bus people in from other states, because that's what killed it.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It used to be jam-packed from the Capitol all the way to the campus.
And other states were bussing people in for the celebration here.
It got out of hand.
Oh, I did not know this. So it's not the big deal that it was. You know, when going to college in the early 80s, still that was like the place you wanted to be, I guess.
Yeah,
but
it was.
Yeah. Oh, I did the mid 80s through the late 80s, really. Okay. And then, some windows got broken. Some people got hurt. And
Well, people climbed the lamppost.
Yeah, that was the big
deal. That was the big problem.
Why? Yeah. They didn't win the Rose Bowl or the World Series or anything.
I don't know. I don't know. What did they call it? Fright Fest or Freak Fest?
Freak Fest.
Okay. Yeah.
But you know what? These college kids, they had a lot of time to come up with costumes, and they had some amazing, fantastic looking costumes down in State Street.
Yeah.
We missed those days.
It was a big party. Yeah.
Do you guys have a favorite from, you know, whatever year in the past where you go, the best costume you ever wore was?
No, I'm not big on costumes. John has all kinds of costumes.
I'm not either. So, John, you're going to have to bail us out of this one.
Yeah.
Well, I know that there were a couple of students that came as breasts. So, I remember that one.
All right.
Those were the days. Imagination.
I've got a neighbor who really takes the costumes seriously, and he always does such a great job year after year. He's got just kind of a gray scruffy beard, and so one year he went as the most interesting man in the world. You know, from the beard commercials.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Last year he dyed the beard and went as, is it Rip from Yellowstone? And his wife dressed up as one of the Yellowstone characters. He also has a resemblance to Madden. He was the former manager of the Chicago Cubs. Blanking on his first name. And I'm always kind of jealous that, you know, there's people that really want to put themselves into it. Whereas me, it's like, I'll put a sheet over my head, cut a couple of holes. Oh, boo, I'm a ghost. You know?
Couple of years ago, you know, we came from Comic-Con in Chicago. We came back up here. We were still wearing our costumes, so we went down State Street at Halloween. And my wife was Black Widow from, you know, the Marvel comics. Mm-hmm. And I went as Doctor Strange.
Oh, nice.
And my son, he was Spider-Man.
Dead ringer for Spider-Man.
He's a dead ringer for Spider-Man. He's like 6'4". He's walking around very thin. and everybody thought he was Spider-Man. Even the people who are a little stoned on the sidewalk were saying, "Hey, Spider-Man, help us!" You know, and he didn't know how to take that. He said, "That guy is drunk, isn't he? I don't." Well, yeah, and it's like, well, who cares? He's on the other side of the street. Don't worry about him. You know,
yes, as long as he stays there.
But one of the heartwarming scenes, of course, was, you know, the kids on State Street. They love seeing Spider-Man and they love talking to Spider-Man and shaking his hand. And it was just so cool that my son got into that as well.
Well, it's good on Halloween, a little less so like if you're in Times Square on any random Wednesday, and there's like four different Spider-Man guys coming in looking for, you know, donations. We were once on a tour in Spain. I don't know if it was Madrid or where, and we have photos of ourselves with a morbidly obese Spider-Man. Don't know how he got into that costume, but he did all the poses and everything because that's how he made a buck. And then there's Tony, who fills up our comment sections on YouTube from up in Ashland. I don't know, is Dom able to put on your monitor there?
Yes, Tony, we see it up there.
Tony and his family.
Yeah, we see it right
his
now.
Wife,
yeah.
His wife made the mystery machine out of a cardboard box.
That's
and
so
one
cool.
of the one of the kids is Scooby-Doo, and Tony appears to be Shaggy. And his wife appears to be Velma over there. And
oh, I see.
I can't make out what the little ones are, but they're just adorable. When you go through the whole thing of actually making, you know, using that cardboard box to make a mystery machine or other things that take much more labor than the generic, you know, packet at the Spirit of Halloween store. I got to applaud that. I think that's great. Thank you, Tony, for sending that in.
Cool. Well, we were thinking also that a lot of people might dress up as the East Wing of the White House being deconstructed.
I heard that. Yeah, if we could
figure that out somehow. I don't.
Well, there was basically you take a cardboard box, you kind of try to make it look like a White House, and then like a corner of it, you just tear it, mangle it, maybe singe it a little bit or something.
Rubble
just,
in there.
Just make it look terrible.
I want something tearing apart the walls. That's what I want on there.
Yeah. A little
tractor of some sort.
Tractor thing.
Yeah. It would work. We're talking to John and Gordy from our Civic Media station in Madison, 92.7 WMDX. You can hear them on the Civic Media app as well. John, you said you wanted to quiz me on something political or something.
I did.
Like that. All right.
Well, you were in the Senate, state senator. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you, look, I want to reform. I want the Democrats to win the election in the midterms. And I think we're falling behind. We don't really think ahead too much. And I want to run these ideas by you as a former legislator. Okay. I think that because we're fighting so hard, we're holding up everything because we want to fight for the ACA premium discounts. Okay. That's what we want. We want the tax credits. Mm-hmm. But can't we also piggyback that with universal health care? Wouldn't it be a good idea if the Democrats got behind the idea of universal health care to piggyback onto the tax credits that we're fighting so hard to keep? Wouldn't that be something? And because people are seeing their premiums go up, they might just want to jump on board universal health care.
I will tell you something that as of last week, I was helping my mom pick out a new Medicare Advantage program because the old one is getting dumped. And so there's like 158,000 people who are in her plan to find new ones, which is not the same as the ACA. But in both cases, you're looking at these things, all of the hoops that you have to jump through.
Yeah.
There's no way to compare apples to apples. And you go, why? How are we still doing this after all this time instead of universal health care like they have figured out in every other developed country in the world? And yet we don't, because the Affordable Care Act was the compromise. That's how it got passed, was, you know, instead of a single payer or, you know, a universal plan to get, you know, some Republican votes, it was, okay, we'll keep the private companies in there, but we'll have an individual mandate and everybody will get covered. And it still didn't get any Republican votes. They've never voted to make any improvements in it. So it's not as bad as it used to be, but it sure should be better. And frankly, yes, more Democrats ought to be running on universal health.
They should have had the public option in there and see how fast people run into the public option.
They would have, except for a guy named Joe Lieberman, who threatened to sink the whole thing. So, so thanks, Joe, wherever you are.
I have another question for you because you're a former legislator.
Well, let's take care of that after the break then. So I will answer John and Gordy's questions. I like this. I get to be the political analyst for once. That's coming up. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We were in the bottom 10 states for creating jobs and for entrepreneurial activity.
Is Representative Tom Tiffany right? Does Wisconsin rank among the bottom 10 states in job creation and entrepreneurship? Yes, although not in every business climate ranking. National Business Capital, a business lender, ranked Wisconsin 42nd for starting a business. Well, Simplify LLC, a publication serving startups, ranked it 43rd. But Wallet Hub and U.S. News ranked Wisconsin's business climate in the mid-30s. And CNBC and a poll of CEOs both ranked it 21st. From 2018 to 2025, Wisconsin added 63,300 jobs, ranking 40th nationally, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. Well, in the studio with me right now is Joan Ackerman. She is with the Hayward Community Food Shelf, and in particular, you also represent the Hayward Community Food Shelf's Food for Kids program. Good morning, Joan.
Good morning. How are you, Mark? Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So, Food for Kids, how long has this been going on, and describe what the program is about?
Okay. Well, the Food Shelf actually just celebrated its 40th anniversary.
Okay.
And Food for Kids, this is the 15th anniversary of the Food for Kids program. And over the past 15 years, Food for Kids has distributed almost 600,000 pounds, specifically 599,691 pounds of food to children in the Hayward community area.
Okay. And this works through multiple school districts, right?
Correct. Yeah. And Food for Kids is actually now a year-long program.
Okay.
We are just starting the school year program. That is where students can receive a bag of food every Friday during the school year that contains items for breakfast and lunch for Saturday and Sunday when they aren't in school. And we serve the Hayward Public Schools, the LCO schools, St. Francis Mission, Northern Lights Christian Academy, and Northern Waters Environmental Charter School. They all participate in the program.
Yeah. So why was this started? What was the need that was seen so many years ago with school children?
Well, it just was that the people that started this at the Hayward Food Shelf just saw that there were children, students that needed additional food, particularly in the on the weekends when they are not in school.
Yeah.
And while the program has evolved over the past 15 years, one thing has remained constant, and that's providing nutritious food assistance to children.
Yeah, because they are the ones that usually suffer the most.
Yes, and we have heard from teachers that when hungry children come to school, they're not as attentive. Yeah. It's harder for them to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just trying to help that need.
Yeah. So is there any sort of requirements that a child or the family of the child needs to meet to receive this benefit?
No, there are no requirements, and there's no cost to the parent or student.
Okay.
They just need to sign up. There are registration forms at the schools. That's on the school's website. I think it was in all of the open house packages.
Oh, okay.
It's on the food shelf's website. You just fill out a form and return that to school, because the school gives us the numbers of students each week.
Yeah.
Because it does vary if kids are sick or something, and additional students can sign up at any time during the school year.
Yeah, right. And then you said this is now year-round. How does that work then when over the summer months when school isn't in session?
Right. About the year after Food for Kids was started, the next year we started a summer program. And again, parents can sign up their children for that. Again, no cost. Just fill out a form rather than deliver the food to the schools. The parents or a designated person can pick up a box monthly at the food shelf during its regular hours, and that is approximately 25 pounds of food for the month. Pretty much the same that's in a weekly bag, you know, an entree, vegetables, cereals, fruits, things like that. It's just on a monthly basis.
Okay. Now, you're on the board for the food shelf. At the board level, have you seen an increase in demand over the past couple of years, or is there seasons in each year where the demand gets to be more than normal?
I would say that the demand is increasing. It's not necessarily seasonal.
Okay.
Just based on a lot of factors of food costs and certain programs not be available, that the general program, which operates on Monday mornings and the first Saturday of the month, they have definitely seen an increase in participation or clients coming in.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So speaking of donations then, how can people donate financially, or where can they bring food to donate to the food shelf? Is there boxes out at the different stores fronts, or can they just bring it to the...
There are some boxes like at Marketplace. People can also drop off food at the food shelf when it is open.
Okay.
We don't want to leave food
outside. Yeah.
And if people are looking to donate cash, they can either... make checks payable to the Hayward Community Food Shelf, and our P.O. box here in Hayward is 779, or you can donate on our website with a credit card. There's no charge for that.
Yeah, and the website is?
HaywardFoodShelf.net.
HaywardFoodShelf.net.
Right, and it is a fee-free donation with your with your credit card.
Okay.
And that's on our website and also the Facebook page.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Joan, for coming in and telling us about the Food for Kids program offered by the Hayward Community Food Shelf. And again, if you want more information about this, you can go to their website, and there is a form there, or check in with your child's school for an application to the Food for Kids program. Thank you, Joan.
Thank you very much, and thank you. And I encourage anyone would like to participate in the program to do so, and you can do it anytime during the school year. So if you don't sign up the first week, you can sign up anytime during the school year and just turn that form into the school.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the radio station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward area information tomorrow morning. It's 8:29.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is encouraging residents to attend one of the various educational events this week honoring International Bat Week. According to a press release, four of the eight species of bat found in Wisconsin are considered threatened, but officials say conservation efforts over the past decade have helped the state's native bat populations begin to rebound. Event locations and tips for helping the bat population from home, like building your own bat house or using native plants in your yard, are available on the DNR website. A bipartisan group of state lawmakers have introduced legislation aimed at expanding access to information on menopause. The bill would require the Wisconsin Department of Health Services to create an online resource page and pamphlet about menopause. According to a National Institutes of Health study, over 75% of women across the country believe menopause education should be taught in schools, similarly to education on puberty. Actress Halle Berry also spoke in support of the bill as part of a nationwide tour to promote menopause education. The Rice Lake Area School District is inviting residents to participate in their local Empty Bowls event this week. The eighth iteration of the annual event will be held on Thursday at the Rice Lake High School cafeteria from 4:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. The funding raised at the event will go towards the district's Feed Our Kids backpack program, which provides students with non-perishable and easy-to-make foods to take home over the weekend to combat hunger and guarantee kids are having their nutritional needs met when they don't have access to school meals. Healthy Washco is inviting area residents to participate in an upcoming training program for mental health first aid. The organization will offer the program in partnership with the University of Wisconsin-Madison's Division of Extension Health and Well-Being Institute. The program seeks to teach residents how to identify when somebody is experiencing a mental health or substance abuse crisis and how to best support them. A youth mental health first aid course will be held on November 7th from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Washburn County Services Building in Shell Lake. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Halloween creeps ever closer, and all the streaming platforms are well aware you might be in search of some good jump scares. Last week, TheWrap.com gave us some scary movies on HBO, and now they're sharing some Hulu offerings, which include The Fly, starring Jeff Goldblum. This 1986 film pulled a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes and is positively disgusting and wonderful. If you want to be scared and laugh a bit, check out Scream. And for those of you who are true masochists, there is the positively disgusting Saw for your streaming Halloween pleasure. I think we are officially out of ideas to watch based on what is gaining traction right now in people's living rooms. The 2010 action comedy The A-Team is finding new eyes after its Netflix release. The film was based on the 1980s TV show with George Peppard and Mr. T. The cast is led by Liam Neeson, who shares the screen with Bradley Cooper, Jessica Biel, and Rampage Jackson. He'll never be Mr. T. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to the mid to upper 50s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, there may be a sprinkle or two. Otherwise, partly cloudy. We'll drop to the mid 30s for a low. Tomorrow, scattered showers with a high right around 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Currently, it's 42.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Paul Jaconi Berry and Sean Hannish back with another great Wisconsin sports film. No Packers, no life.
Sean came across No Packers, No Life at the Wisconsin Film Festival and said, you got to see it. We got to see if we can do something. This movie is just such a great opportunity to really see the impact of Wisconsin culture halfway around the world in Japan. It is just so magical and joyful. Yeah. So I encourage everybody to come take a look.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app, Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dustin Mack from Appleton's History Museum at the Castle. We talk Wisconsin Dells ghost boat tours, and musician Strategic joins me in studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back. While Latinos across the United States worry about a government that is now hostile to their dreams or maybe even existence, certainly their residency here in the United States, there are still plenty of people who are carrying on with visions of creating their own American success story. That includes an Altoona woman whose journey from Mexico included the creation of a successful small business here in the Chippewa Valley. And she shared her story last week with a virtual summit for the Wisconsin Latino Chamber of Commerce. Carmen Solis started MKS Cleaning Services in Eau Claire, and she shares her advice to others making their own path through the free enterprise system, one that can still hold promise for new arrivals to our country. Here is some of our conversation from late last week. Tell us about how you came to start the company.
I had a job that was a normal 9-to-5, 8-hour job, and as a mom, having to drop off my kids at school, at daycare, it was sometimes challenging because sometimes I would have to leave work to go to an appointment or for something for school. And so at the time, I worked at a cleaning job, and I decided that I wanted to have my own schedule and that I wanted to work for myself. And so at first, I was a little scared, but at the same time, I was prepared to start working for myself. And that is something that I also enjoy doing, is cleaning.
Why did you decide to become a member of the Latino Chamber of Commerce?
I didn't know enough to guide my business at first. And I became aware of the chamber when they came out to Eau Claire last year. So how this helped me was with meeting different people, knowing how to get my first client, either my first house or my first location, commercial location. These have helped me overcome this fear of reaching out to people and also learning how to make my own business cards or to make that outreach to potential clients. The chamber helps us have a firm purpose in what we're doing. It gives us more security and confidence in what we're doing as a person, as a business, and it helps us be able to share our businesses with others, and so not being afraid to talk to others, to network, this would be really important.
At the Eau Claire Virtual Business Summit, you will be sharing your business journey with aspiring entrepreneurs. What are you most excited to share at the summit?
So I'm excited to let them know that as a business owner, if I was able to do it, they can do it too. To also trust in God and to get closer to organizations like the Chamber of Commerce. So it's important because they give us opportunities like this one to be able to connect to different organizations, communities in Wisconsin, and also to motivate those entrepreneurs that if they have a dream to not give up, even when times are difficult, they can still do it. It doesn't matter what type of business you open. It is always important to be open to any skills that you might have that you might be able to develop or continue developing, and always discovering those talents that you have, and always trusting in God that you have something special and that you keep continuing, whether there is any challenge in the road. There is always going to be success, and to always be humble and have faith that things will turn out well.
Carmen, can you tell me more about your own personal history and how long you've lived in the Eau Claire area?
I have been living 26 years in the United States. I currently have 3 kids, 2 daughters, and 1 son, and 1 granddaughter. I have been living 15 years in Altoona, and I really like this place because it is very calm and it is very nice. I always feel the support from the community, and although English isn't my first language, I still am able to connect with others in the community. So I like to be able to participate in different kinds of events. I do speak to my family in Michoacán. It's about 26 years since I haven't seen my family, but my family is very proud. My parents are always telling me to keep going, and they always encourage, since I was little, I was always dreaming of doing more things.
I am so happy that you have taken time to talk to me about your history and your business.
So I do want to just give a final message for those entrepreneurs that are wanting to start. If they have any kind of doubt, to just give that first step, because you never know what that first step can lead you to. And then if somebody asks me about my business or any advice on how to start a business, I am always welcome to help them. So I'm always open to questions. And then I will also always refer them to the Chamber of Commerce, as they always give me advice on what to do and always give me those resources to be able to expand my business.
That again was Carmen Solis. I talked to her late last week through an interpreter about her own journey of entrepreneurship and the remarks that she delivered last week to the Wisconsin Latino Chamber of Commerce. You can learn more about the group by going to LCC. For Latino Chamber of Commerce, WI.org. That's LCCWI.org. Because again, despite the environment out there that is decidedly hostile, there are still people who are looking to, you know, encourage others to share and chase their dreams. I know there's no shortage of articles about Latino business owners saying that customers have been staying away out of fear of either being, you know, detained or deported, or being, you know, simply on the scene when something bad is happening, when, you know, Trump's masked police are showing up here. And so there's been a lot of push to support Latino-owned businesses. The Latino Chamber of Commerce has represented both Latino and non-Latino business owners throughout Wisconsin, help with economic development programs and providing access to networking opportunities, as you heard from Carmen there, basically advocating for a fair and merit-based business climate and being a champion for public policy that opens the doors of the marketplace for both emerging and established businesses and promoting lasting economic developments. And again, to learn more, head over to LCCWI.org, LCCWI.org for the Wisconsin Latino Chamber of Commerce. Jane Matinere is coming up in just a little bit. She's going to tell us what's coming up on her program. She and Greg Bach will be along from 9 to 11 today across the Civic Media Radio Network. And then let's see, Todd Alba is coming up at 2 to 4, and he will actually have Jane as a guest at 2:35. And then, of course, there's the Maggie Dawn Show today from 4 until 6 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Parker Olson is producing not only the whole 3-hour show, he's digging up entertainment news to keep those of us who are news nerds in the know about things away from the front section. And those of you, you know, 5 people left subscribing to USA Today who have the purple entertainment section in front of you, know exactly what Parker's going to do next. He's got entertainment news for us. Do you?
I have news of entertainment.
Okay. All right. Bring it along.
Johnny Depp is in negotiations to be Ebenezer Scrooge.
I would watch that. Now, bear in mind, as we cover every holiday season on this program, I don't know that anybody will be a better Ebenezer Scrooge than Michael Caine in the classic Muppet Christmas Carol. And if you haven't watched Muppet Christmas Carol, you are missing out.
I think this might be a slightly different version of a Christmas Carol.
It's totally going to be different. But the thing that made Michael Caine's work is that Michael Caine said, I will not take this role unless I can play it straight. And so the Muppets are doing Muppet things all around him.
Yeah.
But he's not at any point winking in the camera. He's not, you know, going along with the joke. He is totally bah humbugging his way through it. And it's incredible. It's really good. Will Johnny Depp's version have Muppets? No,
it's said to be a darker thriller version of
Why
the story.
Does everything have to be darker? Hey, let's remake Batman. It was a fun, campy series in the 1960s. Yes, but we're going to make it much darker. How about Superman? Yes, but we're going to make it darker. It's time for the fourth Spider-Man remake. Great. Can we make it darker? Is anybody making things a little lighter, a little more tongue-in-cheek nowadays?
Not many people at all. I'll tell you what, Pat. I watched Casino Royale.
Mm.
I finally got around to putting a little James Bond in my life.
Well, congratulations on your first James Bond movie.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
What did we think?
I thought it was fine. Yeah. Gonna be totally honest. It's like, I was.
You know
okay.
What? You know what? You tried. You broke the seal on it. Yeah. That's the important thing.
Yeah.
That there may be another one now. I would not go any further than if you weren't that impressed by that one, the rest of the Daniel Craig ones aren't going to do it. You know, go watch Roger Moore or Sean Connery or Pierce Brosnan. Go watch one more. That way, at least you can, when the conversation comes up, who was the best James Bond? You can at least say, well, I liked this guy better than that guy.
Yeah.
And that's it. So, but Johnny Depp is Ebenezer Scrooge. Okay. But that's just talk. So we have no idea when this would be filmed or come out or anything like that.
No, but I think it's pretty darn close to being contracted. Okay. So we're getting there. We'll know soon. Okay. I bet we'll know by Christmas, Pat.
Okay. Well, will it be on par of the Chris Farley biopic? I mean, because that's something that's getting a lot of popular buzz right now.
Surely that'll be an entirely different vibe.
Without a doubt. I mean, it's on our watch list. We haven't seen it yet. Yes. We're waiting till after our next Target run because apparently we're going to need extra boxes of tissues because it's a real tearjerker.
Farley will be played by Paul Walter Hauser, who actually was just in the new Naked Gun movie. And the Farley biopic will be directed by Josh Gad.
Oh, wait. Whoa, this is new. We're not talking about the Chris Farley documentary. Oh, no, that was John Candy. Sorry, got my comedian. The John Candy documentary is on our watch list. A Chris Farley biopic is in the works.
Yes.
Oh, you know, I really should have shown up for rehearsal. I would have caught this thing in dress rehearsal if I'd have been there, but I was not. My apologies. So a Chris Farley biopic.
Yes.
Okay, not the same as a documentary, which also means this thing could either be really dead on or it could make a lot of people upset if it does not give what they think is a fair representation of him.
Biopics are kind of murky water. I don't know if we need to be doing that. I don't know. I get a weird vibe.
I mean, I would like to see somebody do a really good Chris Farley biopic, but you know, when that happens, again, you could either get a Rami Malek who does a very good job with Freddie Mercury and have something like that. But we, you know, there's been no shortage of examples where the person just falls short or the storytelling falls short. And so, I will be interested to see how this comes along, but I will be watching for it. All right. Anything else we want to cover here? Entertainment wise?
Would you like an update on the Louvre jewel heist?
did they find the jewels?
They found two suspects connected to the jewels, which are worth $102 million.
Ooh, well, in that case, the next question we have to ask is, when will the biopic be made of these two suspects? Because that's all we do now is we dwell on the crime stuff. I'm sure they've got a backstory. There will be a documentary. Oh, yeah. They will show up on daytime TV and talk about their troubled childhoods.
Oh, yes. These guys were arrested by the Paris Gang Brigade was the police division that got them. I am very excited for this Scooby-Doo remake documentary.
Scooby-Doo remake of the Louvre heist. I love it. Tony puts up on YouTube, back to the Chris Farley biopic, I wonder if David Spade is involved. That would be a good indicator of quality. That is very true.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Now we know what to watch for and see if this thing comes together. All right. Like I said, Jane Matinair show comes up next along with Greg Bach, Matinair on Air. So Jane will join us to talk about what she's got on the show this week. coming up in just a bit. Remember, follow what we do all day long over at Up North News, upnorthnewswi.com, and subscribe to our newsletters there. We'll be right back.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The North Carolina legislature passed a new gerrymandered congressional map October 22nd, likely adding a GOP congressional seat to offset expected 2026 midterm losses in the U.S. House. Legislators diluted black voting power to do it, but say it was for partisan reasons. The map likely gives Republicans an 11-3 advantage in a purple state where President Trump won by only 3.3% in 2024. State leaders went out of their way to say it was manipulated to help maintain GOP control of the U.S. House. State Senator Ralph Hayes said, "The motivation behind this redraw is simple and singular. Draw a new map that will bring an additional Republican seat to the congressional delegation." Why admit the cheating? The U.S. Supreme Court's Rucho decision said gerrymandering for partisan reasons was a state political matter, not a matter for the federal courts. For the moment, racial gerrymandering is still illegal under the Voting Rights Act, so the deliberate admission of partisan gerrymandering helps to create an alibi when the case reaches federal court. The new map changed only Congressional District 1, a currently competitive Northeast district where black Congressman Don Davis won by 2%. A North Carolina Black Alliance analysis shows it shifted 8% of black voters into adjoining redder districts, diluting black voting power and tilting District 1 Republican. We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
A very funny stand-up comic, Mr. Mike Toomey. The last time I saw a Goldie Hawn film in the theater, the male lead was giving her a foot massage, yeah. And it was the worst foot I've ever seen. I actually said out loud, I went, ew. And my aunt started cracking up.
Yeah, maybe they could have had a stand-in, like a stunt foot.
Please, something. Even if it's a guy's foot, I don't care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
30,000 Wisconsinites could be priced out of ACA insurance completely. Former Assistant Secretary for Commerce and Economic Development, Alejandra Castillo. What's the off-ramp here?
If you haven't called your member of Congress, you need to. The off-ramp can only be individuals like you and I calling our members of Congress and demanding that both the White House and Congress begin to negotiate a real solution.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tomorrow on the program, we will be talking to Ruth Conniff from the Wisconsin Examiner. We'll meet with Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom, Capitol Hill correspondent, will talk to us live from Washington, D.C. about any developments that take place in the government shutdown fight. And we'll talk to a guest from Friends of the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore and the impact not only there, but of national parks around the country because of the government shutdown. So be sure you join us for all of that tomorrow. And if you can't join us tomorrow live, well, get us on a podcast. Get over to Spotify or Apple and sign up, and that way you won't miss a guest. You won't miss a topic. Same thing goes for the program that comes up next year across the Civic Media Radio Network. That would be Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair and Greg Bach. Jane Matinair, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Good morning, Parker. Good morning, everyone. And hello, live stream. Sorry about that little slip in the secret show there.
The secret show is a little spicier that way, but we were telling stories.
The word I never use. Just
never, as, never, ever.
Greg?
Yes.
No, don't ask Greg.
No, don't ask Greg. No, he'll fall off. But we were talking about age differences in people and recognizing people. And I don't know if I've told you how Sherry and I now identify elders in the crowd. As we started, you know, as we were going out to things in public, and we'd say afterwards, I was going to say something about that older couple, but then I realized they're not really older. They're our age.
And they're us.
They're us. And they're so us. You ever notice for, like, you know, when toddlers are like 18 months old or maybe 2 years old, and they see somebody that's pretty much their age, and they point to them and they go, baby, baby.
Yes. Yes.
We realize that's what we're doing now, is we're just so now when we see a couple and we're not sure if they're really older than us or not, we just point and go, baby.
Oh, that's really funny, so, Pat.
Yeah.
Yeah. My husband and I continue to try and delude ourselves, like when we go away on vacation, mm-hmm. and we'll look around and go, well, we're among the younger ones here. Ish.
We used to be. I mean, I used to go on these holiday vacations, travel trips, and Sherry and I would go, and we would bring the average age of the bus down yeah. to like 77, you know. And now we're not a drag on the average anymore. We're much closer to the mean than ever before. But, you know, it we now are at that point on, say, a Tuesday. We're like, well, do we need to run over to the grocery store and get something? We could wait till tomorrow. We get the senior discount on Wednesdays, you know.
Ooh.
And that's how it used to sound, like, well, I guess we'll get the senior discount. And now it's like, wait till Wednesday. On Wednesday, we'll get the senior discount. This will be great. Well, hey,
absolutely. You know? There, at some point, you finally embrace that stuff and go, you know what? I am this age.
Yes.
I'm getting the 5% off. Darn it. I don't care.
You embrace. You go, I am a baby. That's exactly
I am baby girl, apparently.
I did. Oh, yeah. You got called baby girl over the weekend.
So weird. It was so weird. It's weird.
Our family, our whole extended family, is on a big old Snapchat chain. And I don't know if you use Snapchat or not, but you can also create like these avatars, these little cartoon characters of yourself.
Sure.
And I did finally have to acknowledge I was sending a happy birthday to my younger daughter today. And I'm looking at it going, that's not me anymore. So I had to go to the little avatar and I had to make the hair a little grayer.
Oh,
yep. Make the face is a little fuller. And I'm looking at it going, yeah, that's me. And that is in no way depressing, but it is who it just is who we are.
You don't have to be honest with an avatar, Pat. Come on. That's your one opportunity to embrace falsehoods.
That's not what my family would say.
I suppose. Like,
hey, somebody's a little out of date there. You think you're in middle school? No.
Nice try, Dad.
Yep, exactly. What is coming up on Matt and Air on Air today or this week or whenever?
We are going to talk to Mr. Global. Matt Randolph is going to be joining us after the 9:30 news to talk about energy costs. And of course, that was a big promise of the president, that energy prices will be down. And we're going to drill, baby, drill. And it's all going to be fantastic. And coal is back. And yeah, no. So we're going to talk about a number of those things coming up with Mr. Global, Matt Randolph, who will be here after 9:30. We're going to start off the show talking about the FEMA dollars that have now been denied to Wisconsin. Also, a story about Michael Gableman. Remember Michael Gableman?
Michael Gableman, yes, yes.
Michael Gableman, who Robin Voss hired at taxpayer expense for, what, $2 million we paid him?
And did a quote-unquote investigation worthy of Inspector Clouseau from the Pink Panther
did.
Movies. Yes.
And found absolutely zippo nothing as far as shenanigans going on with the 2020 election. And now there is some talk that Michael Gableman should have to pay for some of those legal fees.
Yes, he should.
I think that's kind of a, I don't know, I think that's kind of a good thing.
I'm more motivated than ever because we have a president who is currently shaking down the Department of Justice for $230 million, meaning he's shaking down taxpayers. And so the extent to which, you know, we can get that from people who have unjustly bilked taxpayers the way that former Justice Gableman has, I think that would be completely fair.
And our number two, we're going to start off with Scott Bessent. Of course, he's our Secretary of the Treasury.
Yes.
He is just nothing more than a lowly, struggling soybean farmer, Pat. Did you know that?
Oh, no, I did not know that.
I didn't realize that until he said over the weekend that he, too, is a soybean farmer. Of course, I think he's worth $500 million. But
aren't they all?
That's just a little side note. But yes, we're going to talk about poor Scott Bessent struggling, apparently, because of tariffs.
The struggles are real for them.
They are.
All right. Well, I wish him well, and I'm sure that anything that we have to say about that will more accurately reflect, I don't know, the real soybean farmers of Wisconsin and the uncertainty that they're going through right now, thanks to these guys. Yeah. So for all that and more, Jane Mattenair, Greg Bach, coming up right after the 9 o'clock news here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you for that, Jane. Appreciate it.
Have Gentlemen, a great start it's been the a week. Pleasure. Thank All you right. so much. We'll yes. see you next week.
See you later. And again, coming up later this week on the program, we will be talking, we talked about healthcare, and on Thursday, we'll talk to an expert on Medicare Advantage plans, because those are also a healthcare feature that cost could be going up sharply if you don't know exactly what to do, whether you're an elder or the caregiver of one. So tune in for that later this week as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. Thanks for being here today. We'll see you tomorrow morning, bright and early, 6 a.m. here up north.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Hurricane Melissa, now a huge Category 5 storm with winds of 160 miles an hour. ABC's Ginger Z says it's expected to hit Jamaica overnight.
By tomorrow morning, we'll be talking about landfall, and that's when the worst of the winds will be coming in through the western half of Jamaica. The southern part of Jamaica, that coast, that's where the 9 to 13 feet of storm surge.
The National Hurricane Center says the storm is expected to bring between 15 and 30 inches of rain to southern Jamaica. President Trump's in Tokyo, part of his Asian tour. He will meet with the prime minister tonight. When he arrived, he also met with the Japanese emperor. The U.S. Agriculture Department has announced that money to pay for SNAP benefits, food assistance for about 40 million low-income Americans, will run out as of Saturday because of the government shutdown. An early Halloween parade in Chicago disrupting by ICE agents carrying out their immigration crackdown over the weekend. A construction worker in the country was illegally placed under arrest. This is ABC News.